If you were here last week, we talked about the Pharisees coming up to Jesus and the disciples and accusing them of not following the traditions. Anybody remember that? The tradition of the elders, because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they eat. And so we talked about that last week, hypocrites and traditions, and Jesus saying that what comes out of you is what makes you unclean, not what goes in. And so today, the passage we're going to look at is a continuation from last week, actually. Jesus is going to use this as a teaching moment, and he's going to focus now on the actual Old Testament law that God gave the people. You can check it out in Leviticus 11, of the things that made them clean and unclean if they ate them. Or, you know, there were certain things that were clean, certain things that were unclean. And so, for example, you could eat cow, but not camels, rabbits, or rock badgers. Check it out, Leviticus 11. You could eat seafood, but only if it had fins and scales. You could not eat shellfish. There are some birds you wouldn't want to eat anyway, but there were some birds that you could not eat, like vultures. They're all listed out there of all the birds you can't eat. And you can eat insects, but only if they have wings. So there you go. Okay? You can check that out. So the religious leaders of that time basically taught that you are what you eat. If you eat an insect that doesn't fly, you are unclean. If you eat a rock badger, you are unclean. And then you have to go through all these rituals to make yourself clean. And remember, this is God's law in Leviticus 11. This is what they had to abide by. This wasn't man-made rules. Now, they added to God's law over the years. But what I'm talking about here is actually God's law. And so they thought and they taught over, you know, the centuries that you could be clean based on your outward appearance. And now, Jesus is going to turn everything they know on its head. And he's going to lay out what really makes them unclean. And so we're going to, this morning, take a look at two different examinations. You can think medically here. And we're going to take a look at the stomach and the heart. These are the two exams. But first, let's read from Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus, he," Jesus, "declared all foods clean." First off here, verse 14, Jesus calls the people. Another translation word to be used there is summons. He doesn't do this very often in the Gospels. But when he does, he called the people to himself to tell them something very important is going to be taught by Jesus when he summons or calls people to come and listen to him. And now he talks about examination number one, the stomach. And so that verse 15 there, Jesus really ups the ante when he says there's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. Nothing from the outside that you take in, food-wise. So Jesus has actually already showed this to the people and to his disciples. Back in Mark chapter 1, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. And back in those days, they declared that anybody with leprosy was unclean. And these poor people were ostracized from the community, basically treated like outcasts, and they couldn't even live in the city. They had to live out with other people with leprosy outside of the city, and nobody would touch them. And when Jesus is approached by this man with leprosy in Mark chapter 1, Jesus not only heals that guy, he touched him to heal him. Now, technically, according to their law, Jesus would have been declared unclean because he touched somebody with leprosy. You see, Jesus can do whatever he wants, though. But he showed how much he loved and cared for this person that he touched him. And so Jesus has already showed this through his actions. And all of this that's going on here and being said by Jesus would have been highly offensive to the Pharisees and the religious leaders who were standing there listening to Jesus say this. They would have been highly offended because it's all they knew. And they thought that they were right with God because of what they do and how they look on the outside. And so Jesus is changing what Leviticus 11 says, which is God's law. He's changing it. So how can Jesus just change God's law? Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. Remember, the Son of God is the Word of God, and he has been given the authority by the Father, so he can change the law. That was in Leviticus chapter 11. All foods are now clean. So, the first thing on the screen here, the stomach is not the problem here. Jesus declared all foods clean. You can now eat bacon and not feel guilt. Hallelujah. I could wrap my shoe in bacon and it would taste good. Again, Jesus doesn't care about the way we look on the outside. And this is something, a common theme throughout the Bible. We can go back to 1 Samuel. When David was going to be chosen as the king of Israel, they said this. So Samuel was the prophet at the time, and Jesse, David's dad, had marched out all his sons. He didn't even march out David because he didn't even consider David would be the one because he was short, he was the shepherd, he was the youngest. All his brothers, all of Jesse's other sons were tall and big and handsome. And here's what the Lord said to Samuel. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's what he cares about, our hearts. And so let's take a look. Let's examine our hearts and continue on here in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks. He continues. And Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And that's what Jesus says here. So this last part here, he's talking just to his disciples now, who still aren't understanding. You can almost sense Jesus getting annoyed with them. You still don't understand? It doesn't matter what comes into you. All these foods, I now declare them clean. What comes out of you is what makes you evil, because from our heart is who we really are. The heart of the matter here is that we do have a heart issue. This is our problem, not the stomach. And so how do we know if we have a heart issue? Jesus lists them right there. And all of these vices, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these vices are what make us unclean and tell us that we have a heart issue here. Essentially, Jesus is going through the commandments, but he's giving some more details here of all the ways that we sin. This list of things. You see, the heart is the spiritual inner being of us. Our mouths speak what's in our hearts, right? Most of the time. And our heart is the moving force that leads us to commit these sins that Jesus lists out here for us. Anybody, by the way, guilty of these sins? I'll raise my hand first. And when we see these ailments of our heart, when we look at them, the Holy Spirit guides us to realize we can't take care of this heart issue on our own and make it clean again. We can't do it. We can try to make other laws and add to God's law on ways to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. We can justify what we're doing when we do those things that Jesus lists out. We can try anything in the book, but we can't make our heart clean on our own. There's just not a to-do list that we can check off. Oh, I've done this, this, and this. I've cleaned my heart. There's no such list out there. All we can do, brothers and sisters in Christ, all we can do is humbly bow before the Creator of the universe and beg for forgiveness. That's the only thing we can do. And not just on Sunday, by the way. You can beg for forgiveness every day of the week. Because we all sin every day of the week. And so as you look at these vices here that Jesus lists out in verses 20 through 23, Jesus doesn't just condemn us when he lists these sins. Remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God, saying this. He not only is condemning us, because when we see that list, when we are confronted with the law of God, which is good, by the way, the law is good. When we're confronted with it, we can see that we are indeed sinners, poor, miserable sinners. But Jesus is the one that sets us free. And he's the one that's given us a clean heart. And he has reconciled us to God, the Father. Because you know what? When Jesus, we just sang it in the song. When Jesus was on that cross, he was forsaken by his Father. His Father turned his back on his Son when he was dying, bleeding, suffering on that cross. Because this is what had to happen to save us, to make our hearts clean. Jesus felt complete isolation when he was dying on that cross because he was there for us. So we indeed have a clean heart now because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Because we have been reconciled to God now. Because God now doesn't see us in just our dirty hearts. He sees us through what his son Jesus did for us. And that's a good thing for us, by the way. But just because we've been given this clean heart by Jesus' death, resurrection on the cross, death on the cross and then resurrection, just because we have this clean heart doesn't mean we still don't struggle, correct? Here in this world, we live this life of saint sinner at the same time. I always imagine whenever I hear that, you know, the two little things on your shoulder, the white angel, and then the little devil on your other shoulder, you know, like you see in cartoons usually. Which one are you going to listen to? We still have to deal with the flaming darts that Satan throws at us every single day. He tempts us every single day. He knows each and every one of your weaknesses, where your weak spot is, and then he'll tempt you to sin. And so, like we did with the children, put on the armor of God when you are out there in the world. Just looking at that real quick again. All these things that we have because of what Jesus did for us. We have the belt of truth. Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. The breastplate of righteousness. We've all been declared righteous. And when we do these baptisms, we give them the white claws because it's this white robe of righteousness we now wear because of Jesus. The gospel of peace running shoes that we have on. They're better than any Nike, Reebok, whatever. They're the best kind of shoes to have because we have peace with God now because of what Jesus did for us. The helmet of salvation, we've been saved. This is all good news, by the way. The shield of faith. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. You know, there's nothing Satan can do to destroy the armor that we have been given by God to wear each and every day. There's nothing he can do. Jesus even said, upon the confession that Peter said that Jesus is the Son of God, upon that confession, not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against us, the Christian church. There's nothing Satan can do because Jesus, the Lamb of God, which Revelation calls him a lot, is already sitting on the throne. He's already ruling everything because he's already defeated Satan, sin, and death. And because of that, you and I will be with him next to that throne in heaven, seeing him face to face. Amen.